Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great pleasure to be with all of you on this Thursday. Our number, by the way, 800-795-9565. You can jump in anytime you want. Our thanks to Steve Williams, Ryan Brandt, also Dave Ritchie and Kevin Herr for our high school previews the previous half hour. Bob Buhner's with us today. Kevin's with us today, as always. This half hour, by the way, we're going to be joined in just a moment by Neil Riddell of the Altoona Mirror to talk about Penn State football. The Nittany Lions with a bye week. Penn State will take on Ohio State in Beaver Stadium a week from Saturday at 8 in the whiteout game as they start the second half of the regular season. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And we bring in my old friend, Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror. Neil, welcome back. It is great to hear from you.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks.
Okay, so what are you seeing? I mean, you're a longtime observer, so what are you seeing in this?
Well, that's a nice way to open it up. A wide open question, huh?
Well, I figure that you have, it's not as if you're short on opinions, so, I mean, I figure if I open up the door,
well,
you can then take us down the road.
Well, I mean, I think that to be 4-2 at this point is not, you know, the roof hasn't come off the building. I don't think, you know, as far as expectations, I think that's what record-wise, I think it was very feasible for them to be 4-2. I think maybe the way they got there has been a little surprising and even a little disappointing with the last couple weeks. You know, obviously, Ficken making the field goal against UCF and the comeback against Rutgers, which was sort of a template from last year against Michigan, you know, probably raised expectations and maybe unfairly so to a point. The thing that I saw against Michigan, and we're still learning about James Franklin, what dial he has, mm-hmm. what to look for during games. The thing that kind of disappointed me, and I'm assuming them, is that it didn't appear that they were as organized, particularly coming off a bye week at Michigan. You know, Northwestern, I give Northwestern credit. They finished the job, unlike some other years where they weren't able to. I thought they won that game. I didn't really think Penn State lost that game, even though they made a couple big mistakes late. But in this game, I think there was more regret because I think they left a lot of plays and points and situations on the field at Michigan.
That was, without question, you walked away saying that was an incredibly winnable game for Penn State. I mean, to the end, it was a very winnable game for Penn State. That's where the regret comes in. You're right, Northwestern came in, I thought, had a great plan, and to their credit, executed, and they won the football game. When you look at the defense, what are you seeing right now in that defense that allows them to stay in games?
Well, I think they're playing tremendous. You know, their front seven has been really good. I think they've improved from the beginning of season till now and improved even during games, made good adjustments. I've been impressed with Bob Shoup and the defensive staff, what we've gotten to see with them. Different blitz-type packages, keeping people fresh by going. I think at one point they had played 9 defensive linemen
right
through 2.5 quarters. So, you know, Williams, I think, has been better than maybe expected in the corner. I think everybody thought Amos would be good. You know, ironically, Kaiser, that was unfortunate because he's had a nose for the ball and he's come up with some of those plays these last couple years. And, you know, if he holds the ball in that situation, Michigan may not have the kind of offense that can come back even from a 13-3 lead. So, you know, I've been impressed with, and Glenn Hall's playing fantastic. I think he's playing his way into the conversation with Puzlosny and Connor and some of the better linebackers of recent years.
Yeah, Jack Ham feels the same way as you do about that. Very impressed by what Mike's done.
Yeah, I don't know whether he'll be the same pro. Jack, no. What's Jack think about that?
Well, you know what? The interesting part about Mike is the size part of it. Mike is, what, about 6 foot, maybe not quite 6'1", 232 right now. The key with him is if he could possibly play outside in the NFL, not in the middle. He could play outside in the NFL. And the part that helps Mike above all is that when you bring him out there to cover a pass, he understands how to read it, the proper depth of a drop. Those are going to be those subtle things I think a lot of scouts like that Jack talks to me about all the time. I think that puts him in the conversation. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, the nose for the football that he has had since he's been there,
right.
He always seems to make big plays. He was the guy, it looked like, that recovered the onside kick at the very end, had that been ruled as such.
Offensively, they started out and they scored the first three times they had the ball against Michigan. Then we know what happened after that. It was 97 yards on the final 37 plays over the last three quarters. And they only had the ball like 19-plus minutes the last three quarters. So offensively, what are you seeing and what aren't you seeing?
Well, you know, I think that they are still not sure. Again, this is my earlier comment, Steve. I'm not sure if they know what they want to be. I'm still a little puzzled by when you get to the red zone now twice in two games, you decided to let Bill Belton pass. And I'm just not sure about that. You have an All-American candidate quarterback, or certainly the guy you're built around. And he's had his struggles, there's no doubt. But, you know, being where the line, with the case of the line, I think that's an example of, you know, maybe just not really being sure what they want to do. The fact that John Donovan came downstairs was sort of a red flag to me. Now, maybe he's going to stay downstairs. I'm not sure we know that yet. And, of course, we never saw that in the past. Once the assignments were made of who's going to be upstairs and who's going to be down, we almost never saw that kind of. There were instances, and obviously dictated by Joe's health, but once a coordinator determined, well, I'm more comfortable on the field or I'm more comfortable on the sidelines, you know, I think that's where they coach from. And it looked like, I don't know how much that factored into, you know, they wasted some timeouts, it looked like to me, on offense in situations where it might have been better to keep them. So I think it's still a work in progress. I'm curious on the Zwinek, you know, role, because I thought he was a good downhill runner. I know there hasn't been a lot of room, but you're talking about a guy with 2,100 career yards. And right at this point, you know, he's being phased out, it looks like. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of questions on offense, the lack of the use of the tight ends, and so much of it stems from, if 94 is the reference point, we all know that Kerry Collins was virtually untouched the whole year. So we understand that the offensive line, you know, is what it is right now. But I still think that some of those other issues, I think, are controllable.
How tough has it been, for example, for Christian Hackenberg, that there have been times they've had to go max protect and not be able to put as many people in the pattern?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, when you look, where would they be without him? I mean, you know, we were talking on our Nitwit show the other day, well, who's the first half MVPs? And we kind of had consensus on Mike Hall, although there was sentiment for Anthony Zettel on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then on offense, you know, most of the guys picked Deshaun Hamilton. And I still stuck with Hackenberg. I know he's made a key interception a couple times now, but where would you be without him?
Well, what kind of chance do you have without him?
Right. So, yeah, the one thing that's kind of disappointed me, and maybe this is, you know, just because when you're in a when you're getting hit this often and you're getting sacked this many times and that you develop a case of the twitches or whatnot, but he's been short on short hopping some makeable passes where it doesn't look like he's under as much duress, and I would think he would tell you that he just hasn't been quite as accurate.
Yeah, sure, he would tell you that on those particular plays. The special teams component, we talked about we saw in you and I, it's not as if you and I haven't seen the field position game played before, Neil.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Nothing wrong with a punt.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have seen the field position game played before a couple times, Neil, over the last three decades. Watching,
I would have preferred a punt instead of that fake punt. But I also get that he didn't want to punt it in the end zone with an erratic what to this point has been kind of an erratic kick, erratic punting, and to gain 17 yards, you know, you're still playing to win. I admire that. Excuse me.
Well, yeah, well, I think what the goal was to try and get up by two scores. But just the mere, if they could get some consistency out of that, because in the two games that they have lost, they are minus 16 yards per possession. The average drive start for the opponent's the 41. The average drive start for Penn State is the 25. Well, when it's 27 possessions, that's 432 yards. If they can find some,
that's a lot to make up.
Yeah, if they can find some consistency there, how much can that help the offense out just by getting a decent starting position?
Well, I mean, not only the offense, but if you, like Bill O'Brien, like to talk about complementary football, I mean, when you have a defense like this, it really works even better if you have a good punting game.
Yeah.
And you can pin people deep and you're confident about it. I mean, the way Michigan was playing offense, if you can somehow pin them at the five, that's what a great offensive play that could have been. But and he'd go back to John Bruno and the 86 team and some of the great defenses that we've seen, they're usually complemented by a really good punter.
Right, and no question about that. And again, the consistency part is the key part to
and
that.
And the Michigan special team, Steve, I thought was tremendous. I mean, their punter,
Hagerup,
was really good, and their field goal kicker.
Yeah, man, no question. And that's actually the best game Wiles had, because Wiles had come in like 5-9 and was only 2-6 over 40. And to his credit, I thought he did a great job of place kicking off, and Hagerup already led the Big Ten in punting, and you could see why.
I mean, let me ask you, can Ficken punt?
Not really. No, he never really did it in high school. They had him do it as a backup in the spring. He will freely admit to you it is not his strong suit.
Because I wondered with a week off, and maybe these other kids, I don't want to be overly critical of anybody. I mean, we all know what Penn State has gone through to get to this point. These kids have stuck with the program, whatnot, the ones that were recruited before, and the ones that believed in it enough afterwards. But, you know, you're still... You still have a Nittany Nation that's very passionate, and you know, it's to give up a Saturday or even to go up there, people, and that's to the program's credit.
And
people want to dissect and they want answers.
And I think you've hit it on the head, and I think that's the part that, above all, I've really been impressed. The passion is still deep in there. And the expectations there. There's nothing wrong with it. I think that's great. I mean,
we always said having a press box full of people criticizing is better than having a half-empty press box.
You got that right. Exactly right. And the same thing with a stadium. You want that stadium full.
Now, if we get the press box renovations, we'd be on to something.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take you down to the broadcast.
Take that to Jeff Nelson.
Before the Ohio State game, pop into the booth. We'll show you.
Yeah.
Neil.
Well, it's not like the home coaches are up there living in luxury either.
Oh, no. The home coaches are not living in luxury. No, there is not a single person up there living in luxury.
Oh.
But down the road, maybe they will be. Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Neil. It's always a pleasure, and I appreciate the insight, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great show.
That is Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror. Kevin will come back, and he'll dissect the interview for you in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Sunbury Motors brings you the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and Kevin is driving this week
a 2014 Kia Sportage, the SX all-wheel drive. You know, all week we've been talking about the all-wheel drive because AccuWeather says it's going to be a snowy winter. Not necessarily as cold as last year or as long as last year, but a snowy one. So maybe taking a look at a 5-star crash safety rated SUV that is ranked the highest small SUV in initial quality by J.D. Power & Associates at Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf would be a good idea. But what's an even better idea is on a day like today, where it was more like Monday, when it was a little bit crisp out in the morning, I turned the heated seat on, and in the afternoon, when it got a little bit into the mid-70s, a little more humid, I turned the air-conditioned seat on. This is a small SUV under $23,000 that has a lot of great features that you would find in a luxury vehicle. Check it out, Sunbury Motors, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf for the Kia dealership.
I just get uncomfortable talking, Bob, to him about his heated seat.
For some reason, he has a particular interest in the
obsession.
Obsession
with it.
Well,
yeah.
I knew heated seats were, you know, around. I didn't know air-conditioned seats were available. Those are really cool.
What bothers us is you keep talking about your heated seat.
I knew what you meant. I just wasn't acknowledging it.
Steve, you know there's a fine line between a hobby and an obsession.
Yes. There's also a fine line between flamboyance and being okay.
That Sportage, by the way, is looking real nice in the parking lot out here at Sunbury Broadcast.
What color do you have?
It is a white a white obsession.
Oh, my God. Oh,
it is a white Kia Sportage.
The segment spirals into the abyss.
There goes all those years of therapy down the drain.
Or you and me, or
yes, but it is a beautiful looking car.
Sure, yeah, I bet it's great. And just go to Sunbury Motors and say, "I want to drive and buy what Kevin drove." If you could clean it up first, that'd be great.
They will Sunbury inside
Motors,
and out.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Have they said anything to you yet about the kind of mess you turned in?
No, I have been very... I have used the courtesy mats and everything.
It's part of the obsession. He cleans it up really nicely.
His white obsession.
Yes.
I have to admit, that was good. All right, off week for Penn State football. Rutgers will take on Ohio State. That game will be in Columbus this weekend. The big one is the night game, Florida State at home against Notre Dame. That should be
interesting at a lot of levels. We may not be scrubbing the bottom of the tank, but I can see it from here.
Yes.
We haven't scraped it yet, but you can see it.
We're getting closer by the minute. Next half hour, we're going to talk about the Notre Dame-Florida State game. Christine Brennan of USA Today skewered Florida State and referred to it as Jameis State, that he basically runs the university. She was relentless.
Just piling it on.
Well, we'll get into a couple of topics that she brought up about it. And Notre Dame's not exactly walking in there with a little bit of swagger with five players suspended for an academic scandal.
They even took the line off the Vegas. You can't even bet on that game right now because they're worried about insider information.
I think they're worried as to whether he's going to play in the game. That's why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. But they're worried about somebody having inside information and then betting it up.
Well,
yeah.
Jimbo says he's going to play him.
Of course.
And so Jimbo has suspended him how many times since he... Oh, that's right, none. He'll play.
Where Watsontown, Riverside, and Middleburg turn first for news. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Don't forget, James Franklin will be on tonight with us from Damon's from 6.05 to 7 on the Penn State Football Show.
All Steve Jones Thursday on WKOK.
Now, did the Lions practice today?
No, they did not. They practiced Tuesday, yesterday, no practice today, tomorrow, or Saturday. A meeting and a walkthrough on Sunday, no practice Monday, then practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, walkthrough on Friday.
A lot of things going on where the coaches are going to be able to get out of town to do what coaches do when they go out of town, visiting high schools and people like and students, right, et cetera.
Yeah, they're going to recruit, so they're going to do that. But James Franklin will be on the show tonight, 6.05 to 7. Our show, of course, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Don't forget tomorrow night, Lewisburg at Southern Columbia on the Valley, Milton at Mifflinburg on WMLP, Sealands Grove at Jersey Shore and Eagle 107, and right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, which should be a really good one with Kevin and the coach Dick Hort. Shikellamy at Loyal Sox, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 will be the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Christine Brennan in a blistering column today, which Penn State fans know that she has the capability of writing. Well, this time it was directed at Florida State, referring to it as Jameis State. She called it an embarrassment. She said it continues unabated at Florida State, in a school that has put the need to win football games above all else, including an alleged rape, a Title IX violation, and pending an investigation, an NCAA rule that some schools still actually follow. The amazingly still eligible Jameis Winston is preparing for Notre Dame, as well as stealing crab legs from a Publix, a soda from a Burger King, firing a BB gun at his apartment complex, and making a spectacle of himself by yelling vulgar phrases while standing on a table in the student union. None of it ever happened.
But other than that...
And she goes on from there. Those autographs that Winston signed and for which he, of course, didn't get paid one penny, really. After 22 months of successfully stiff-arming scandal after scandal, why stop now? Don't be cautious like Georgia and even Texas A&M. Roll the dice. Worst case scenario, should you win another national title and have to give it up someday because of Winston actually signed something, might not be telling the truth. Everyone would know that you won it. on the field and lost it to the despised NCAA. So that almost counts as a win-win, right? This is what she's been writing, and she refers to it as Free Shoes University meets Jameis State. Says, quote, "It's hard to imagine an entire university led by supposedly intelligent people who don't wear football helmets turning into sycophants for one sports team. But that's exactly what happened before our eyes at Jameis State. Instead of conducting an investigation into the alleged rape many months ago, as federal guidelines say they have to do, Florida State joined with Barney Fife and the rest of the Tallahassee Police Department to bury or ignore these serious charges until they bubbled to the surface at the worst possible moment during last year's national title and Heisman Trophy run." Says here that delaying all the way, Jameis State won its national title and Heisman. Now, finally, the school says it's moving ahead on a disciplinary hearing for Winston, but an attorney advising Winston is having none of that, throwing FSU's in action right back at the school, saying the proceedings are, quote, untimely. So Winston is going to use the foot dragging that kept him eligible in 2013 to buttress his case against the school in 2014. That's some kind of chutzpah. Let's play this out. Accustomed to thriving in the midst of total controversy, Jameis State plays well enough to make the inaugural college football playoff. Jameis himself doesn't win another Heisman, but finishes the bowl season as the starting quarterback. He then escapes to the NFL just as the school's sanctions hit him for a period of time that no longer has any meaning. As for the alleged leaders of Jameis State, they finally realize what they have done, and in their shame turn a collective shade of garnet. Nothing being true to your school. That's what she writes in today's USA Today.
She certainly has the poison pen out, doesn't she?
She does. Now, here's the part about Jameis Winston. One thing I found interesting about Terrell Pryor, remember when he was a supplemental draft pick in the NFL?
Yep.
Remember what NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell did? He suspended him for 5 games, the same suspension he would have received at Ohio State.
That's right.
I wonder if that would apply to Jameis Winston if after the fact they said, you know, he should be suspended for a season. I wonder if the NFL would do the same thing to him.
There's no doubt in my mind that or worse, given the pressure that the NFL and their leader is under for other things going on.
I just throw it out there. Past performance, what they did to Terrell Pryor, for example, Jim Tressel when he was an advisor on instant replay to the Colts at the time.
Yes.
Was not allowed to join them until after the 8th game of the season because of the violations at Ohio State. And this is the NFL doing it to him. I'm not talking about college, the NFL.
No. Yeah, there's a big question, Steve, I think, whether Jameis will withdraw from school to avoid having to go to a student disciplinary hearing, because if he's no longer a student, it doesn't apply. And if that happens, of course, the only thing left for him is to try and make himself available to the NFL through either a supplemental draft or wait and go through that the normal process.
Oh, no, he'll be eligible for the NFL draft next April.
That's right.
I mean, he could drop out of school, concentrate, go to passing camps, do whatever, and then go to the combine, and he will be eligible for the NFL draft. He redshirted his initial season at Florida State, played last year, played this year. That's 3 years in school. He is going into the NFL draft. So all of this is really making a mockery of the system. And this kid is playing it like a fiddle.
I know that college football players are not allowed to have a formalized agreement with an agent. That's right in the rule book. It makes them automatically ineligible if they have an agent. But this is just an educated guess on my part, Steve and Kevin, but I'm betting he has some quote, spiritual advisors whispering into his ear over how to proceed, because I don't think he is, shall we say, sophisticated enough in the legal maneuverings and et cetera on his own. So I think there's some outside guidance leading him through this process.
Well, here's the other part. As a college football fan, don't you want to see him play against Notre Dame on Saturday night? Doesn't ABC, is it on ABC or ESPN? I think it's on ABC, right? Doesn't ABC want to see Jameis Winston playing in the game?
Absolutely, because then the underneath hype for that game, it has another storyline to it.
College football fans want to see him play.
Sure.
Because they want to see Florida State play Notre Dame at their best. Everett Golson, Jameis Winston. So this is where we are in all of this. And again, for him, you look at one thing, Burger King. Oh, I'm serious.
I understand.
And you can bypass it. You look at the BB gun deal. If it's one thing, all right, he made a mistake, bypass it. Crab legs. Well, if it's one thing, he did serve community service and was suspended for the baseball team. Next part, jumped up on the table, yelled something he shouldn't have yelled, but it's the only incident in his career. Okay, you can bypass
it. Sure, college kid being stupid.
Here's the problem. He did all of those things. And I haven't even touched on the alleged allegations. That's the most serious one, because he hasn't been charged with anything, and it would be unfair of me to bring it up.
Sure.
The other things he did.
Not a solid track record of good citizenship.
Well, he certainly has been able to, except for one game. You know, and you know what? I really am bothered a bit by the praise he gets for having to block everything out. What's he blocking out?
Yeah.
He gets a free pass on everything. What's he blocking out?
It certainly isn't remorse.
I mean, everything he does, he doesn't pay a price for. Everything he does, he doesn't pay a penalty for. He just does it and goes on to the next thing. And he gets praised for his ability to block out all the distractions. What distraction? What penalty? What discipline? Block out what?
Yeah. I think the word consequences comes to mind, because there haven't been any.
And that's my issue with this. He hasn't had any consequences with this. My goodness, a guy that ended up having an outstanding NFL career has been, was Joe Giravicious.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Paterno told him his senior year that if you miss a class, you miss a game. If you miss two classes, you miss a month. If you miss three, you're out for the rest of the season. Well, near the end of the year, he skipped a class right before the bowl game. Did he play in the bowl game? No.
No. I think he watched it from home.
Because he was told if you missed a class, you were out. Meanwhile, Joe Giravicious didn't go to the Burger King and just keep taking drinks. He didn't walk out of Wegmans with food and not pay for it. He did not shoot BB guns over at Heritage Oaks. And he, to my knowledge, didn't sign anything when he was here and never jumped up on a table at the Hub and yelled vulgarities. He missed a class. And he was told ahead of time, if you miss a class, you will miss a game. It turned out that class, and he missed the bowl game. And ended up having an outstanding NFL career, is an outstanding father who's gone through a lot as a father and had great success with Tampa Bay, especially, including the Super Bowl. And Joe Jerovicius, I knew him a bit, liked him, great guy. School wasn't totally his bag, not in terms of being an academic, but the school part. He always loved to play football. That's what he wanted to do. But he had struggled going to classes, and Joe told him at the beginning of the year, if you miss a class, this is the deal. Well, he missed a class. He didn't play the bowl game. He didn't jump up at a table and yell vulgarities to a song. He didn't shoot BB guns over at Heritage Oaks. He didn't walk out a giant with crab legs. He didn't go over the Burger King on University Drive, just keep taking drinks. Nope. Missed a class. Which, by the way, I had 8 people miss my class on Monday.
Steve, before we go to the break, I got Tony from Shamokin like to chime in on the conversation.
Good, because, by the way, Kev, just so you know,
my screen is locked.
No, it's locked in on what we did in the 3:30 hour. I can't get it out of it. Just that's a technical plus spot for us. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? When you started reading that article from Christine Brennan, I thought you were talking about Notre Dame. I mean, well, they seem to get a pass, too. I mean, let's not forget the rapes at that school, the suicides. Let's not forget the kid that fell off the tower because the coach made him go up there in terrible weather. And the academic, I mean, Christine Brennan, for her, what she'd done to Penn State, she's right there with Sarah Gammon and Dave Jones from the Patriot News. I don't pay a least bit of attention to anything they say.
And you were entitled to feel that way.
Pardon?
You are entitled to feel that way.
You know, she, I'm sure you've seen the article she wrote about Penn State.
Of course I have.
And she, no regrets, nothing. Penn State gets crucified for basically doing nothing. You have Jameis Winston, or whatever his name is, and he gets away with all of this, and he's going to play Saturday night, and they're going to praise him Saturday night.
Yes, they will.
And you know that's going to happen. Notre Dame, they get a pass. I was a Notre Dame fan at one time. I don't know if anybody remembers. It was 1978, I think. Ross Browner, 8 of them, 8 Notre Dame players got accused of rape.
Yes.
They did it. What happened to them? They come back and win the national championship. These schools all get a pass. Penn State. And what happened to them? For basically, well, they did nothing. Penn State itself did nothing. Joe Paterno did nothing. And they're paying. And it's the likes of Christine Brennan that kept the ball rolling.
Well, the difference between that and this is actually simple. And Bob, I think, is going to back me up on this. Jameis Winston has actually done those things. Everybody knows he did. Now, the part about the autograph's not proven, so let's make sure. And that's why I didn't bring up the alleged rape incident, because he wasn't charged. All the other things, he did. As for Penn State, the unfairness about this situation is, outside of the retired employee, those who had been connected currently with the university haven't even had their trials yet, thus have been convicted of nothing so far.
And Penn State paid. Big time.
They sure have. They sure have. Am I correct in that, Bob?
Incident.
Yeah. You wonder what would have happened had this been Jameis Smith, the sophomore from Tallahassee, Florida, who doesn't play any sports. What would the Office of Student Affairs or Student Life or whatever the name is, what would their disciplinary process have been for him when you have an accumulation of all these events? The answer is...
He'd be sitting in Barney Fife's jail.
Yeah, or he would have certainly been under some type of student discipline, probation on academics, or even suspended from the school. That's the thing that bothers me.
Penn State has the football culture.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly,
hey,
Tony.
Hey, listen. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that. See, and that's the big difference. I think one thing that has come out of the NFL situation with Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Jonathan Dwyer, and others is that the NFL has backed off, actually, in one way, where they're not going to act as judge and jury. They're going to let the legal process play out. The legal process has far from played out in the Penn State situation.
Certainly.
And yet,
yet
there's been a judge and jury already outside the law that has assigned punishment.
And Steve, let's face it, the NFL and even the NCAA is not accustomed to taking over the role of judge and jury when it comes to dealing with criminal matters. If it comes with some academic things or some athletic-related things where somebody's getting a competitive advantage on the playing field or on the wrestling mat or in the basketball court, yeah, they can do that kind of stuff.
But, sure.
But when they're trying to be the judge and jury in a criminal justice system, they're, pardon the pun, out of their league. They're just way beyond. That's just way beyond what they can do, and that's what the NCAA did to Penn State. The NFL, I think, wisely is holding off and letting that process play out. And if the person is found guilty, we'll all know it, and appropriate punishments that or matters can happen by the NFL or the NCAA at that. But to jump the gun on all this stuff does no one any good, except
well,
it makes a couple. Writers for USA Today and ESPN happy that their loud mouths or sharp pens were responded to.
And of all the things Tony brought up, he brought up the young man who unfortunately died in the when the tower came
yeah.
down in the wind. You want to know the part about that? That separate from the tragedy that disgusted, because the tragedy was disgusting
oh.
and, I mean, that someone lost their son.
Oh,
you know what bothered me about that?
What's that?
They never stopped practicing. They just moved.
Yes, you're right. They just
and
as
I
if...
found that to be appalling, and callous, and about as uncaring a thing as I've ever heard of.
You know, it would be one thing, Steve, if outside the practice field there was a car accident and a Notre Dame student was critically injured. But this is one of their own. This was a kid who was in every way part of that team, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, but it was everybody witnesses. They
yeah,
saw it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's my point. But he was part of the team.
You mentioned the car accident. If it happens outside the practice facility,
yeah.
you hear it or whatever, but you probably don't see it. And so you keep going because you don't know what happened.
Right.
Here's something that happened. What really bothered me beyond the terrible tragedy was that they moved and kept practicing.
Well,
I'm sorry. That's not a person I want coaching my son.
And Steve, there's a word for that. It's called perspective. Got to have the right perspective. You cancel practice.
Hey, I heard that. That has stuck with me forever.
Oh.
Now, if he admits somewhere along the line, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I can accept that, and then I'll bypass it. But I've never heard him say that. And as for Florida State, hey, this kid will be long and gone in the NFL. He would have beaten the system. Can't wait to watch him play Saturday night, can you? We'll talk to you tomorrow. Should be fun. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Hey, Kev, we're going to talk about the Steelers.
Yay.